Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. John Coltrane always leads us in with his legendary, Dear Lord, we thank you for another day and pray and ask that you always have your will and way. We know not what to say, but thank you and praise your holy name. We thank you, dear Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all things, for all good and wonderful things come from you. And Lord, we don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know who brings tomorrow. Well, we thank you for today and your darling son Jesus that died that we may have the right to the tree of life, Lord. So let your will, your way, always be the way. And we just simply say thank you. And you may not be everybody's God, but you are the one and only true God. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports in Depth is the show. Baseball has officially gotten together here in New York City as both teams have won. Don King, big fight card out of Florida last night. We'll talk about that some later on. Big fights are coming up. And this one kicks off one of the triple header. Bernard B-Hop Hopkins against Bad Chad Dawson. A rematch of a fight that Dawson won. And then it was voted on and Dawson lost. And so they'll try it all over again next month. The best fight in the world, pound for pound, undefeated, unbeaten, unknocked down, Floyd, Pretty Boy, or you can say Money Mayweather. And then if you say he's not the best fight in the world, pound for pound, then it's the guy in the following month. It is Manny Pacquiao, the Pac-Man. Three losses, though. Last fight, a lot of people thought he kind of got the better deal. And also in the interim, we heard that on the, well, we know that, Miguel Cotto will be the opposition against Pretty Boy, and they've done it again. Dusty, Berto, and Ortiz is on again.
Yep, so we're getting ready to go. I think it's June 26th, I believe.
June 26th. Which is ironically, it is Derek Jeter's birthday. And the reason why I know it's Derek Jeter's birthday, because it happens to be my grandfather's birthday. And it happens to be the day before being my sister's birthday. So, you know.
You have a birthday calendar. That's what
Well, you know, the thing about Jeter.
You have a birthday calendar. You have a specially printed.
Well, it's not print. But hey, listen, hey, you can buy one. I got a good price.
I figure I'll sell me one.
Nate Baseball is here with us. You know, Nate, I thought about you.
Yeah.
As we, you know, the Yankees played on Friday the 13th.
Uh-huh.
They've won 14 out of 15 times that they've played on Friday the 13th.
Oh, wow.
They will play another game on Friday the 13th, 13 weeks from the first Friday the 13th, and they will play the Angels again on Friday the 13th.
Wow.
Yeah, and
they're playing a very special game today. This is Jackie Robinson night, or Jackie Robinson day.
Yeah.
And the family was there, and everybody is wearing number 42, Los Angeles Angels, and every member of the Yankee team has 42 on for tonight.
I think what they've done in the last couple of years, they've done that across the board. Everybody tonight in Major League Baseball will be wearing number 42.
All baseball teams,
wow, tonight will be wearing number 42.
Yeah.
You know, Jackie Robinson wore number 42. As you know, 42 back in 1997 was once again nobody will be allowed to wear 42.
Yeah.
Doesn't have 42 as it happens to be Mariano Rivera, which is going to number, you know, was going to be retired anyway. So he's wearing number 42, so he'll be the last Yankee to ever wear number 42. I once asked Willie Mays. I said, you know, Mr. Mays, did you got to call Willie Mays? Mr. Did you realize that you're wearing Jackie Robinson's number, you know, backwards? And he said, no. He said, you know, and I asked him. I said, you know, well, why did you wear number 42? And he said, you know, hey, that's the number they gave me. Yeah, he wore 21 in the minor leagues, and which is ironically the number that Clemente wore, because you know the great minor league team and the great Puerto Rican league team in Santurce was the outfield of Monte Irvin, who was the first African American to lead the league in RBIs. The incomparable Willie Mays, the youngest man ever hit 50 or more home runs in one season, and in right field, the great Roberto Walker Clemente. That was the outfield with a phenomenal, a heck of a shortstop, a guy that was going to go to the major leagues. Don Zimmer was a shortstop, and they had the Cuban. If I'm correct, this that Ruben Gomez, wasn't he Cubano?
What was that?
Ruben Gomez, wasn't he Cuban?
No, he's Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican?
Yeah.
Meet him, come for me. So, and, you know, the thing about, the first time, you know, the first gold glove, 1957, it really filled the bill because you had the first Hispanic ever to win the gold glove in Manny Munoz on left field, and you first had the first African-American to ever win a gold glove with Willie Mays in center field. Yeah, and then it wasn't until the next year that you had Hispanic win the gold glove in the infield when you had Luis Aparicio win the gold glove at shortstop. The first African American infielder, you know, I got to search that up. Vic Powell. Vic Powell was the first African American to win a gold glove as he won it at first base in 58. Yeah, that was the second. But the first team was a conglomeration of all both leagues, you know, which
right.
were only, ironically, only two national, three national leaguers on the team. Gil Hodges at first base, a Dodger. Willie Mays in center field, a Giant, which is apropos. Bobby Sands was on the mound, a Yankee. So each of the New York City teams represented. And the shortstop was the National Leaguer, Roy McMillan, the great shortstop from Cincinnati who came over to the Mets way past his prime. Doc Stanley Sports Def on the Blake. We're the Network Rainbow Solar Channel Sports Def for the show. Rooney should be joining us here. And if he's not here yet, we're going to talk a little bit about Bobo Zuba, the First Lady boxing. And also, you know, Lady A, did you get an email I sent you about now? Everybody, I sent you an email. We now have internationally where you can reach us by iPhone and iPad and Android. Did you get that email, Lady A?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. You want to explain it to our fans for us?
No, I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I just know that they're going to have it, like, set up as an application. Is that right? You have to ask Big C. I mean, I think it's where they have it so that you can actually access it with an app on your phone, and if you download the app,
right.
You know, if you download the app, then it's, you can just access us through the app.
Yeah, ma. In July.
Is anybody just watching the game right now or no?
20.
It was still nothing. I don't know if they broke out. I just
I got it 4-1. Yankees won. The Angels won. I mean, the Yankees 4, the Angels 1.
Oh, okay, that's cool. They made up for yesterday.
Yeah, just drove in a run. What do you call it? What's his name? Teixeira just hit a shot out to the right field. So.
Oh, finally.
Actually, left field. I'm sorry, left field.
Who's that?
Mark Teixeira.
Teixeira, 4-1 now. Yeah.
Mark Teixeira.
He drove in Rodriguez.
Yeah.
A-Rod, who hit a home run today to start.
A-Rod hit his 630th yesterday.
Yeah, to tie.
With Ken Griffey.
You know, it's amazing. You know, whoever thought, as we look back, now I remember Jesse Barfield, the great Jesse Barfield, one of the greatest defensive right field and the 1986 home run champion. And he told me that Seattle had a deal on the table for both of those guys. Now, imagine had they kept A-Rod, Ken Griffey Jr., and Randy Johnson.
Ooh.
I mean,
back-to-back World Series.
I mean, you know, I remember the Yankees lost that playoff game. They had tremendous outfield.
They just brought in another run now, 5-1.
Okay.
Yankees?
Yeah.
Doc Stanley Sports is live from Yankee Stadium. Lady A giving us the update that the Yankees are trying to win on Jackie Robinson night, so that way a New York team will win. April 15th, 1947, Jack Roosevelt Robinson made his debut with the Brooklyn Dodgers playing first base. There was a fear that he played second base that would be a problems with people trying to slide into him and hurt him, so they put him at first base. Eddie Stanky was the second baseman at that particular time. Harold Pee Wee Reese was at third base, and Jackie eventually moved to second base in 1949, just 2 years in the league, after becoming the first ever Cy Young Rookie of the Year winner. In 1949, Jackie led the league in stolen bases again, as he's the first baseman to lead the National League in stolen bases, or the league in stolen bases at that, last first baseman in either league to lead the league in stolen bases. And in 1949, he led the league again in stolen bases and won the MVP and won his batting championship, batting, as you would, apropos, 342, his number. And he's the first African-American to win the MVP award. 2 years later, Roy Campanella grabbed it for the first of three times, as he won it again in 53 and in 54. There was a 10-year period. There was an 11-year period. There was an 11-year period from 1947 to 1957 that each year a New York player won the MVP. There was 4 years that a New York player from both leagues won MVP, and there was a three-year span with 3 years in a row where a player from a New York team won the MVP. From 47 to 57, every year, a New York player won the MVP award in baseball, and 3 years in a row, the MVP winner was from both New York teams, and it happened four times where a player from both New York teams won the MVP, showed the dominance of the great New York baseball teams, New York Yankees, the Brooklyn Dodgers, and the New York Giants. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake, but another Green Bowl, so the channel Sports Depth is the show. Lady A, now we've got you here. You said you got to run. So now what's happening in the world of Sweet Science? As you know, they made the Berto and Ortiz again fight. Who do you like in that one?
I like Ortiz in that fight. I still
again.
Like Ortiz. Yeah, I like Ortiz in that fight. I was doing some reading, and I found out, I know I meant to ask Dusty if he paid for that pay-per-view fight with Brandon Rios, because I heard he didn't make weight again.
Oh, my Lord. God bless you, Lady A, the Lady of Boxing.
Thank you. You're welcome.
In the future, when this fight, don't ask Dusty if he said, just ask Dusty what happened. You know he
said. No, but you know, see, but no, because see, yeah, I know Dusty watches it all. That's why I wanted to ask.
Dusty would watch Two Roaches, the Black Flag champion and the Raid champion, for the undisputed championship of the kitchen. And come on, you know he's going to fight.
And the winner will get a piece of bread. So.
But see, what I don't understand, Dusty, is this. Because I know you when you suck. Wait. I know. Wait. Hold on. What I understand is, I know when you suck weight, you know it's tough, because he's been having problems trying to make weight. Now 135. He's saying he got on the scale. He was 137 originally, the first weight. Then the second weight he came back, he was 139.
I did see the fight last night, and I wanted to go on a little soliloquy of something. Okay.
Oh, my God. SAT word, soliloquy. Here we go.
Yeah. No, did you finish what you're going to say, Lady A? Because I want to take some time.
No. That was my question. My question was
to
you. Like, he went from 137 the first weight to 139.
Twice he has not made the weight. The other one was with the English guy.
That's two times in a row, right, Dusty? That's two times in a row now, right?
Twice in a row. This guy, Abril, is one of the Cuban... Not defectors. Yeah, it was on the Cuban team. Over 200 freaking amateur fights, and he's only had 18, 19 fights. But what I'm saying here is this. We are going to have to take a moratorium on boxing. Follow what I'm saying. Stop boxing for 3 months. I know I sound insane to you, but watch what I'm saying. Stop boxing for 3 months. And take all of the boxing judges and suspend them, take their licenses, and send them to boxing judge school. Why am I saying that? Brandon Rios got his A kicked from round 1 to round 12. He was battered, beaten, and beaten, and beaten. And they gave it to him.
And this last fight, right, because I didn't see this one. This one you're talking about, con Abril,
right?
The
one last night.
Con Abril,
I mean, he got beaten from corner to corner. This guy, Abril, is a very good Cuban boxer. And he beat him, okay? Rios couldn't do anything. The only time Rios touched him was when the referee gave him instructions and they shook hands. That's it. This guy ate him alive. And he took the place. He took the place of Gamboa, who didn't want to fight, who disappeared. But the judges, we got to deal with the judges and find out where the corruption is, where the incompetence is, because these dudes should have been subjected to a suspension, just like Paul Williams and Arislandi Lara. This was one of the worst decisions I've seen in a long time. Now, a codicil to that, or segue into that, is the fact that this was a Bob Arum promotion.
Oh, okay.
And Brandon Rios is
a Bob Arum fighter. Yeah.
So, my God, this is what puts fear in me when when Cotto fights Mayweather, if the fight is close, I hate for a lousy decision to go in favor of Mayweather when Miguel has won the fight cleanly. That's what I'm afraid of. Because it was horrible last night. I almost jumped through my screen. I was so freaking angry.
Mm.
But the Cuban guy says, well, what can I do? Well, his corner men were upset. They wanted to jump off the referee. They wanted to cause a riot there. But Brandon Rios, man, lost the fight last night. Now, I don't know if you people knew about it, but Juan Manuel Marquez fought last night.
Yes, and I heard he won.
He won. He fought this Russian guy. I don't know where they're finding these Ukrainians.
He also became a champion. He also won the championship, right? The interim championship?
Yeah, he became the four-time champion, 140 the WBO 140-pound welterweight junior welterweight champion.
Uh-huh.
He fought pretty well. I think Marquez wanted to go the distance because this guy could not have gone two or three rounds with him. But he was boxing him, counter-punching him. Something like in the 12th round was when he, no, no, 11th round was when he battered him, almost knocked him out. But this guy's pretty tough. But Sergei Fedchenko, I don't know, he came from the Ukraine. But the guy had a good record, 31-1 with 11 knockouts. So, you know, but Marquez looked big. Oh, my God, his arms, his shoulders.
He's working with that guy now that supposedly was with Victor Conte. Victor Conte,
Victor Conte. So he looks good. Now I'm anxious for him to stay in the 40s because there's a lot of work in the 140-pounders.
Rios is saying he's having trouble at 135. He's going to go up to 140.
We'll see what happens. Rios, I don't understand what is his mindset or the Garcia family.
Right.
Because the last time when we were in the garden, he came in at 137 also.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he weighed the second time, he came up at a higher weight, I think it was. This time he came 2 pounds, 4 pounds over.
It was two. Because he wasn't it at 135. He came in at 137 was the first weight.
Yeah.
The second was 139.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. Let me tell you something. I've been to training camps. You go to training camps. You got your dietitian. You got your meals. They're prepared, and you do your running. You do this. You do your sweats. You put on what they sell in Models, the rubber sweatsuit. I mean, and when you come in to weigh in, for God's sake, no breakfast. You dry. It's called dry out. You go in there and you make the weight. Now, if I had trouble making the weight, I would have a chicken broth cooked by my dear mother. May she rest in peace. After I weighed in, I would have my chicken broth to re-energize me, and then I would have my meal. But these guys, how long were they in training camp? What, 8 weeks, 10 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And you know you have a weight problem. You had it before, and you cannot make a struggle. That's nonsense.
I'm gonna make a recommendation to Robert Garcia. You know what I'm gonna have him do, Dusty? I'm gonna tell him to use your exercise with the 90-pound sledgehammer around his neck, and maybe that'll help him lose the weight.
Lady,
I don't know.
If you do that, he'll break his neck. He'll break his neck. You know what I mean? You know I mean? Listen, there's two schools of thought here. You know, there's two. First of all, he didn't make the weight, so He said he had he's lying, and the other school of thought is beans and rice. Okay, you know the brother, you know, is on the right. Going back to boxing, you know, Don King had a card last night. Got some notes. Want to thank my man Alan Harper from DK Productions. An action-packed evening of boxing was showcased at the all-new casino Miami Jai Ala Tonight, which opened.
Yeah, there was competition with Miami and Las Vegas or something. Yeah.
Yeah, at Miami, yeah, in 1920, in fact, over 1920, just finished an $87 million casino expansion. This was the first boxing show at the historic Miami boxing venue since 2004. Here's his role. Joey Twinkle Fingers, Hernandez, a TKO, first round, 246 of the first 246 first round. He's now 21-1-1 with 12 KOs. I'm a bad dude when I want to be. I wiped out Shockey like a play the dishes in the first round, and I went 10 rounds with Corey Spinks. Like that. I hit him with a left hook. Once I smell blood, I go in for the kill. Bermain, beware, Steven. United decision says 79-73, twice 77-75 was the cards. He's 22-1 with the one draw, 20 KOs. Willie Herring gave me just what I needed tonight, a chance to show all the things we've been working on in the gym, like head movement, establishing my jab, body shots, and throwing punches and butches. I came to fight. So did Herring. I threw a lot of leather, and he can. Dusty,
Yeah,
you gotta like this one. I came to fight, and so did Herring. I threw a lot of leather, and he got most of it.
That was good. Oh man, that was beautiful. He got most of it. I like that.
I took this fight on short notice, but it was good to get some rust worked out. Herring is light and moves well, so it wasn't easy for me to land anything I threw. But he knew. Hey Dusty. But he knew when I did.
Oh wow.
These are great notes from Alan Harper. It was great to be fighting where I grew up in Miami in front of friends and family. Marcos, Happy Oliveira, KO first round, 49 seconds.
Oh,
he's 23-1-1 with 23 knockouts. He's from Brazil. Okay, Viva.
That's your new star right there, Doc.
That is, baby. Hey, my new champ. I predicted I would win the fight.
Question, Doc.
Who's that?
Harold.
Mr. Harold, how you doing?
Hold on, Harold.
Fighters win.
Harold, I don't know how. Let me read your notes, Harold. Harold, I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, Harold, what's that check? Tell me something new. I think I would win the fight with a body shot, and I did. My body shot dropped him for good. The last time I saw a body shot like that was Tito Trinidad against Rafael Pineda. I'm a big Tito fan, so I've always wanted to land a body shot like that. When I hit him in the face, he covered up his head, so I took it to the body. I'm ready to fight for the world championship this year. I'd fight Nathan Claverie tomorrow. And Arizona Haitian hitman Agostama, he had a knockout in 55 seconds of the first round. He's 13-1 with 18 knockouts. It was great to fight at home with my fans cheering for me. I wanted to put on a good show. I was fighting the southpaw, but it didn't bother me. I squeezed in the right hand that forced him to take a knee. There's your card last night, Don King, and I wouldn't be surprised.
But that was a short card. Did they have any emergency bouts?
They must have used them all last night. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake, with an Epic Rainbow, so the channel Sports Depth is the show. They're all here. Harold is back with us. I'm hoping that
Harold.
C-Wings
is in. Okay, C-Wings
is
in.
Hi, C-Wings. Harold,
and we got Mel
no
Cosell has joined us. Now, I'm looking for Big A to join us so he can give us the inside scoop on that. And Nate, baseball. Let's get back to baseball for a quick minute here. Nate, Yankees won their opener 14 out of 15 times in the last 15 games. They won 14 in the last 15. The big thing here, a Friday night 13 game, they won 14 to 15 of those. They'll do another Friday night 13th the game, evening, and that'll be 13 weeks from now against the Angels. Pettit is coming back. They got a good outing from their opening day pitcher. I think they're worried about CC. Well, something that happened today, too, I read where Posada said, you know what, because somebody asked him, you know, Pettit's coming back after a year. What about you? The great line, Posada said, well, you know, give me a year to stay out, then I'll let you know.
I'll let you know, yeah.
Maybe
he
baseball.
Said that yesterday. Yeah.
So some reflection on that. I mean, do you see him coming back? Have you seen anything right now that shows you one team may have the edge over the other? It's really early. Any insight, any telling tales?
I'll give you
I'll give you some picks if, you know, I'll pick, but, you know, I think the AL East, again, I think that's a toss-up between the three, the, you know, the Sox, the Rays, and the Yankees. I just think any three of those teams could win, and I think in the West, it's either the Rangers or the Angels, the Central, the Tigers, you know, of course. I mean, I think the NL East is also pretty fluid. But I thought it was really, you know, of course, the big thing was early in the week with the comments by Ozzie Guillen in Miami, or the comments that he made in the offseason, but that were released in the Time Magazine article where he said, I love Fidel Castro. And then he came back down to Miami, flew back down, and had a press conference giving the apology.
No, back up, Nate. So now you're telling us that this comment he made was made during the offseason?
It was made in the off season. Yeah, but it was just released in the April issue of Time Magazine, I believe.
That just shows. First of all, you can say what the hell you want to say in America. Say what you want to say. You know, I mean, you can damn to do what you want to do. But you're telling me once again, and this is why Claude, I call Mr. Ivy League, who wrote a great column for out there in Queensland, he talked about how the Major League Baseball now has implemented that you cannot talk to the players before the game. After batting practice, there's no pre-game intercession with the players anymore. It's implemented this, and so now you can't talk to the players.
All right, well, what does that do to Doc?
Major League Baseball came up with it. I read it.
Yeah, but something had to cause an effect.
I don't think it was a cause. It was just the constant regression of Major League Baseball. You know.
Let me interject here. Remember, first of all, yes, you're right. The Fifth Amendment, freedom of speech, and all that. But you have to be smart enough to understand that the beat writers are out there looking for some bochinche, a little remark to create a war against.
Understand, the media has a way of changing things around.
Right.
Sometimes I think, you know,
make you understand that they have a way of changing context.
Yeah, of course.
Gang. But back up. Here's the bottom line.
What's wrong?
He can say what he wants to say.
No, listen to Doc. I tried to explain this to you before. He can say,
I don't want to dwell on this because it's the same old bullshit that America has. It's bullshit.
Because
the man can say, the man can say what he wants. And now you're telling me, that this man said this in the off season.
He said in the offseason, look what they did to A-Rod when they took him out of 130. They only did one guy. Look what they did to Willie Randolph.
Now we're going to stay with it. Because you know what? You brought it up, and I'm glad you. And all these guys happen to be minorities. How amazing that is.
They happen to be minorities.
All these guys happen to be minorities.
But you're right.
I'm blaming you for this. If somebody shoots at me, I'm blaming you for this.
Ain't this amazing?
Doc,
man.
How could that be? Ozzie Guillen is Hispanic. All three names leaked off the list were minorities of color. And then Willie Randolph is still the first manager I know to get fired on the road in the midst of a winning streak.
Remember a manager being fired on the road. I never can remember that.
C-Wings, think again. Think again, Willie Randolph. Does that ring a bell?
No. Besides Willie Randolph, I can't remember any manager being fired on the road. And guess what? That's come back to haunt the Mets ever since.
Listen. The Mets were done when they turned around and they asked Willie Mays. I'm talking about the greatest all-around player to play the game of baseball. They asked Willie Mays, the only home run hitter ever to lead the league in stolen bases for four straight years. They asked Willie Mays, the greatest defensive center fielder who ever lived, Willie Mays, one of only four guys hit over 500 doubles, 500 home runs, and get 3,000 bases. They asked Willie Mays, the man who won 12 straight gold gloves, they asked Willie Mays, the greatest all-star player, they said, Willie, as a coach, what's your job around here? Oh, you know, Miss Mason died, and now you know what, Willie? We don't think you're good enough to be a coach for the New York Mets. You ain't got a job no more.
Well, this is the mindset. This is what I'm trying to make.
And that was on the roll?
The mindset of the subtle racism and the subtle taking things out of context. You know, I myself, and I'm glad this is recorded, was an admirer many decades ago of Fidel Castro. I endorsed what he was doing
the
when he got rid of Batista.
Expressed by the sportscasters on this show is not the expression of
but,
the Blake Radio.
Well, I mean,
but his name is Justinio Lois Jr., and I'll give you his address and his phone number in just a few minutes.
Number, you can have it. But the fact of the matter is,
Hey, Dusty, what license? You ain't got no license.
I drive a mule without a license. But what I'm trying to tell you is that he said something. Yes, I admire the guy. I love the guy because he survived all of these years. What's wrong with that? He's a tenacious.
Well, it's things, Dusty, you bring this up. It's things you can and can't say in America. You know what I mean? And once
but
again,
then we're back
you
to
know.
Dictatorship, man. Really? We're back to the
yeah, you know what, too? I mean, if a guy is expressing his own opinions, I mean,
absolutely.
Sometimes I think sometimes as well people have a tendency to kind of, like, change things, you know, or the meaning of things. And sometimes things, too, hey, look at the flip side of it. I mean, look at it, too. I mean, did he do it in Spanish? Did he do it in English? I mean, you never know. I mean, people say things
he
and you don't know the whole deal of it. I mean,
yeah,
how many times don't you say things
someone,
in Spanish? Lamita, how many times don't you say something in Spanish and then it gets translated into something else? I mean, you know, it could have been a lot of things, you know?
Who was the Reds owner?
Martin Schott.
She made comments like that. I mean, no, you know, the world didn't fall apart. So it's different strokes for different folks,
exactly.
Set of rules. And it's sickening. I mean, you cross over into the entertainment industry with Elvis, and he was quoted as saying, all the N could do for him is shine his shoes. America idolizes this guy.
Muhammad Ali confronted him about that. And he turned around and said, hey, you know what? I didn't know any better. And he became very close. In fact, Ali wore one of his ropes. He's one of the guys. He used to go down to Ali's. Everybody used to go to Ali's training camp. They say Elvis would be down there. Elvis would be in one of the cabins, sleep someplace. He'd be down to visit Ali, hang out. Ali would go training. Elvis down in one of the places, one of the cabins, sleeping. I mean, you know, it's Dusty, you brought this up. As the things change, they remain the same. And I look at how I was looking at the thing yesterday, the Boxing Hall of Fame people who have been inducted. And you know, and Harold ain't there. And I'm thinking, you know, they've got guys who they had the titles for the people who are the active fighters, then they had the trainers. They had, you know, the Burt Sugars. I mean, where's Harold Weston?
I don't live in New York.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean,
no,
where's Harold Weston?
I wasn't born in New York, and I never lived in New York.
Harold.
You live in New York and be born in New York to be in there. So I have never lived in New York. Was never born here in New York.
You talk about comments.
I never
fought
here in New York either. Remember that, too.
Right. Not only that,
I never worked in Madison Square Garden.
You were the matchmaker over in the someplace in Jersey then, right?
I was in Jersey, Connecticut, Harold
Weston.
I always wanted to work in New York, but I never did.
So hold up.
I always wanted to box there, too. You know,
that fight of Benitez, that was Harold Weston Sr., not Harold Weston Jr. That fought Benitez.
That's what I thought.
Hey, Harold, the money was still green, though, right?
The problem was never the problem. The point was making being prestigious, and being somebody that I wanted to be in boxing, which I did. My point was money was never the problem.
Right, when
I got paid for fighting Benito, it was like about $14,000. So that tells you money was never the problem.
Right.
Yeah. But what I was trying to tell you, Doc, I mean, the panel, is that, yes, you have to watch what you're saying based on Guillen, but did you see the controversy that was raked over the coals when our super movie star Mark Wahlberg said that if he had been in one of those planes coming down to the towers, there would not have been a hijack. He would have been the hero.
Oh, my God.
That's right. He was taken to the coals. That was pure, simple stupidity of saying something like that. And this is where people get carried away with
well, the thing with Wahlberg is, isn't he Jewish?
He could be. He's from Boston.
That's amazing that he's not seen as a full-blooded American. I mean, there'd been no problem had John Wayne said that. There'd been no problem had Brad Pitt said that. You know what I mean? It's amazing.
First of all, if I can say, Wahlberg, in my personal opinion, is a little off the subject, is way overrated as an actor at the beginning.
He's not Sir Laurence Olivier, Rooney.
He's way overrated as an actor.
But Malco,
if you remember John Rocca for the Braves, no one really attacked him for what he said. The media kind of turned it into a comic fest. I mean, they were like, oh, they gave him all of this press. They said that he was going to ride the number 7 train when the statements that he made was full 100% racist.
Exactly.
Riding the number 7 train was like being in a third world country.
Exactly.
For that effect.
Exactly.
I mean, as we know, the number 7 train in Queens, you have a mix of different Latin people from Colombia.
Hold on. C-Wings. Latin people of color, no. No. Are you kidding me? Is that what he meant? Oh, my
God.
But nobody ever chastised him for those comments.
Exactly.
You could pull up different articles from the major New York City newspapers. I'm not going to mention the names, but they never attacked him for the comments that he made.
Exactly.
Hey, see, let me say this about Rocker, okay? Shows what a genius he is. He's got a guy with 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and he still couldn't stay in the majors.
Yeah. But they basically made a show
about him. Rooney, hey, your attention, please. Coming into pitch to put out the lights and also into the locker room.
Hey Doc, the Yankees are crushing the Angels right now. 8-1, Jeter just hit a home run.
Scored
in 2 runs.
Well, yeah. Hey, listen, all the games you win in April are important, but in October, but they all count.
Maybe
we could get A-Rod to join them. Well, he hit one the
other day. Yeah, yesterday
he hit that home run that helped them win. But what was funny, they actually booed A-Rod at WrestleMania when they posted his picture up on the Jumbotron. The whole stadium booed him. I don't understand that one.
You know why? You know why? Because A-Rod
is outside of New York. Put it that way.
Hold on. What's that, Rooney?
A-Rod is not universally loved outside of New York, and if you have the truth be told, even in New York, but that's
a good point. Yeah,
yeah, but when you think of the Yankees, you don't think of A-Rod, you think of Derek Jeter.
Yeah, Derek.
The first name that pops in your head is Derek Jeter, not Alex Rodriguez.
Followed by Big Mo. You know.
Exactly.
Where was WrestleMania? Where was WrestleMania that they booed him? It was at Sun Life Stadium in Miami.
Oh, it was in Miami.
He was sitting ringside.
I understand how they booed him in Texas.
They booed him in Texas, probably.
That's funny. You know what? You can tell you about A-Rod. You can boo A-Rod.
Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports and Depth of the show. They're all here. Destino Baby Lois, Harold Weston Jr., the First Lady of Sports, Lady A, Mel Cosell, Z Wings, the assistant coach of the New York Jets, Nate B. Baseball, and the legendary Harold Weston, who for all these years, I thought he was from New York, and all the time his dad was doing all the fighting. My goodness,
but you know, as a side note, you know why they're booing A-Rod? Because he got an offer. He's being typecast for a movie with Andy Warhol, and he has to play the part of a gay lover of Andy Warhol.
Really?
I'm serious. You think I'm kidding you? I read it the other day. I said, "Oh my god!" And he's susceptible to it. He said he would play it.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, well, I got one. Hey, hey, Doug, I have one that's even wilder than that. Now listen to this. coming soon to Broadway, a one-man show featuring former heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson, on the one-man.
Oh yeah,
I heard about that.
Hey, Dusty. You know,
yeah.
Gang. It's so amazing that Rooney having to drum up this about his main man, and his old wrestling buddy. You know, I'm gonna tell you about Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, in my opinion, not even one of the 10 greatest heavyweights that ever lived. But you know, Mike Tyson, man, is the one. You know, it's amazing how Mike, as Dusty. You know,
yeah.
You talked about how the media does these things. And you know, Tyson was the kind of guy, and I'm not going to mention other guys, Mike never had a problem giving an autograph. He never had a problem giving an interview. Hey, Mike, we're doing something for the kids tomorrow. Mike Tyson was there.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tyson has always been part of the community. My nephews, they're all by the grace of God. They always tell me, every time they say, hey, Mike always asks me, you know, he met my daughter years ago. He always asks me, but Mike Tyson, you know, has been pictured in the media a certain way, but Mike Tyson's always a champion inside the ring and outside the ring. And I've said this, you know, nobody ever talks when you talk about Mike. And one thing about Ali, we always talk about the years that he lost, but very rarely do people talk about the years that Mike lost in the ring and how he was unfairly incarcerated and then not even allowed to work on his craft, man. You know, it just he was one of the great champions, the youngest man ever to win heavyweight championship of the world, and you know, and deep down inside, you know, people like and love Mike Tyson, you know. And the late Bill Gallo told me, you know, he said Mike was the last great heavyweight champion that we had where people are always cognizant. He carried the mantle of Ali and Marsh Channel and Floyd Patterson and Jack Johnson, you know, because wherever he was, like when they were, you always knew what and where the heavyweight champion of the world was. And he was a great champion. I think he got stiffed on that count. Buster Douglas was down there. Should have been counted out.
Well,
but,
good talk. Can I piggyback on that if I may, not to interrupt?
Hey, Rooney, I wouldn't have it any other way. Go ahead.
And, Doc, this especially goes to the panel, and especially the former fighters, Harold and Dusty. But I'm telling you, my personal opinion, of course, that if that first fight doesn't get postponed and that original rumble goes off, and don't get me wrong, Holyfield has always been a warrior, but if that original rumble goes off before the postponement, he beats Holyfield, man. He beats
I'm going to tell you what Marion Boykin said.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you what Marion Boykin said. Marion Boykin said, had the first fight came off, it had been three minutes or three punches, whatever came first. Tyson would have won. And then he would have won that fight because Evander even said, when he fought Mike, when he did fight him, he said, you know what? Evander had said, we were talking to something. He said, you know, there was too many fights, he said, where I fought when I should have boxed. You know, and he said, you know, where I fought guys when I should have boxed them. And for my money, you know, he beats Bo that third fight if he don't throw his shoulder out. I mean, he was beating Bo till he threw his shoulder out. I've never, you know, Bo had a great personality. Harold, what did you think of Riddick Bo as a fighter, Harold?
He's fair.
Overrated, Harold?
I mean, my thing, I'm listening to you putting Mike Tyson in the top 10. I don't know which spot you're going to put him in, but that's amazing.
Harold, it's my top 10,
but that's
baby.
Your opinion. That's your opinion.
I mean, Howard, give me, you don't think? I mean, okay, we got Joe
Lewis.
I'll
tell you this. Let me give you this point, and he is probably number 10 on the list.
Okay.
Mike Tyson could not beat Sonny Liston.
Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, where did you put
Sonny Liston?
Liston's there. Here's my list. I got Ali. I got Liston. I got George. I got Joe. Hell, I got Joe. Both Joes. Lewis. Okay. So, I threw Mike in there.
Where does Jack Johnson go?
Listen. That's number. I'm naming names. Jack Johnson.
You didn't say Jack.
Jack Johnson. I'm going to say Jack. How? Give me.
Okay.
I got now. I got three more names. I got three more guys. I mean, I don't think Lennox Lewis is better than Mike Tyson. Okay, that's eight. Give me two more. I got two more.
What about Edward Charles?
That's nine.
That's right.
Okay. And what you going to do with...
Georgie Joe Walcott?
Walcott.
Okay, that's ten. That's ten.
Right. So where does Mike go in?
That's ten. I named that. Mike was part of that ten.
How does Mike part of ten? I named the ten for you.
No, that's it. I got Ali, both Joes, Frazier, and Joe Lewis. We got
that's
Marciano.
Three.
We got
that's
Ezra
four.
Charles. We got Sonny Liston.
Six.
Okay, I got Jersey Joe. Did I mention Marciano? Right?
Jack Johnson.
And Mike Tyson.
Pretty much filled it out.
Marciano.
Yeah, I put Marciano there. Right, now, I feel that Marciano is like Evander Holyfield. Marciano, everybody Marciano fought was over the hill, was old, and gave him a hell of a fight. And he only had six title defenses. I mean, how great, six title defenses, and everybody he fought was old and over the hill and gave him a hell of a fight? As in Jaws gave a hell of a fight? Jersey Joe gave him a hell of a fight?
Over the hill.
So they were over the hill. They were old. Dusty mean over the hill. They were done. They weren't in their prime.
They were not done. Some of them were not done.
He did not fight those guys in their prime.
No,
okay?
He
all those
fought guys in their, some guys Dusty, in their prime, Doc.
No, he didn't.
Let me get you straight.
Nobody's in their 20s when they fought for the title.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but Marciano was.
No, listen to what I'm saying. Nobody was in their 20s when they won the title. The only person that was in their 20s was Bear, that was Joe Lewis. Everybody else was in their 30s.
Absolutely.
Okay, so when Rocky Marciano did fight him, them guys still could fight.
Harold, I'm not saying they couldn't fight.
They were not prime. What I'm trying to explain to you.
They wasn't in their prime,
in the
Harold.
Era, guys could fight then. They could fight when they were in their 30s. I understand they could fight.
What I'm trying to say, they were not at their best.
They couldn't have been at 30 years old, Harold.
No, I'm not buying it. You're telling me that Marciano fought the best Archie
Moore?
How can you
not buy it, Doc, if they won the title in their 30s? How can you not buy it?
No, I'm not saying they won. They won at their best. All those guys were past their prime, Harold. Those guys were past their prime.
They were not past
their prime. All those guys were past their prime. Jersey Joe was past his prime. Archie Moore was past his prime. As if Charles would pass his prime?
Let me say this.
Rocky Marciano would not have quit in the ring.
Exactly.
I'll leave it like that.
You fought a guy in the late rounds and quit.
Who quit? Who quit in the late rounds, Hal?
The man named that Mike Tyson.
Exactly.
You better watch the fight a little bit closer, Doc.
How? I'm talking about when Mike was Mike.
When he fought. My point is, Doc, see, I feel strongly about what I'm talking about because I've been there and I know what the Warrior is about. My point is that when you quit, you quit. I wouldn't care if you're 101 years old.
Exactly. But Yo, you take a guy
Dusty, calm down. Go walk the dog.
You take a guy like Jersey Joe Walker. I already walked him.
When he finally got a shot at the title,
after being robbed in the Joe Louis fight, he made up for all those bad decisions by knocking out Ezra Charles. And when he fought Rocky Marciano, oh, they call him the old man, but who put Marciano on the freaking canvas, man?
And he said, had the referee not gave Marciano any 8 count, he'd have beat him.
And if he had not gotten his right hand, Harry, you remember this?
Yeah.
He had not gotten his right hand caught on the top rope
right.
when he was about to hit Marciano. Marciano
yeah.
hit him with his Susie Q and knocked him out. Other than that, it would have been who's going to go down first. Marciano was all cut up. He was all cut up when he fought Jersey Joe Walker. These guys were, even if they were 90 years of age, these guys were bad fighters who owned that ring, man. And Marciano, he didn't fight over the hill guys. He fought some tough veterans, if you want to call them veterans.
But, yes. Most of these guys in their late 30s or early 40s when he fought this guy.
Hold on. We're going to take a break. Go ahead, Rooney. Tell him, Rooney. We'll be back in a minute, gang.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, what's in depth? On the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul Tales, Sports and Evidence Show, he's back. He's been away, Harold Weston Jr., maybe he's been on Mars or someplace. We got to talk about his price cards and all, but he's back with us. C-Wings, who took a little break and was down at WrestleMania. Doc Stanley, Sports and Evidence, on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul Tales, Sports and Evidence Show. It is the halfway mark on a Sunday show. The gang is all here looking for C-Wings to come, Big C to come and explain our new big thing. Doc Stanley, Sports and Evidence. And DocStanleySports.com is the site. And we're going to go to Rooney for a quick minute as we were going to talk a little bit about the site, DocStanleySports.com. I was looking at a pair of gloves the other day, and they were signed by none other than Harold Weston Jr.
You know you better give me those gloves.
No, Haley, I can't. Harold, you know what you're talking
about. Stop trying
to pull
off the cheesy black and white picture and give me those gloves.
Harold took those gloves off his. In fact, you know what? I can tell you something. I never saw Harold Weston lose a fight live. I know Harold. I'm gonna tell you.
You came all the way to Philadelphia watching you fight and everything. Damn,
Harold. I never saw you lose a fight, Harold. I didn't think anybody could beat you. I didn't think anybody could beat you. My guys, you, Duran and Camacho. My guys, I didn't think anybody could beat y'all. And you, the Benitez fight, I was like, a draw. And then the way he railroaded you. Well, you know, you always had so much politics with your stuff, man. The fight in Puerto Rico, you had to win by a first-round knockout because it already had set him up the million-dollar payday with Ray. Ray wouldn't fight you, but then Ray turns around and asks you how to fight Tommy Hearns. I said, boy, that's a lot of nerve, man. You know, he won't fight you. Go ahead, Al.
Gil told me, and we was with a newspaper man, he said it wasn't that Howard lost his fight or somebody they beat him. He said just Howard just had bad luck, and that's how we left.
I'm going to tell you what I told Tommy Hearns. I'm going to tell you. No fighter, when you fought, you know, it wasn't that the other guy beat you. You just didn't win. That's all. You know. And it was just, man, you was a marvel, man. You was the only MSG welterweight champion, and then you turned around and you were one of the guys that carried boxing. Rooney, want to get to you real quick for a minute. As you know, Doc Stanley Sports and Depth, the whole Harold, I went to pair of Harold Western gloves. I'm looking at a briefcase, man, and I've got the Harold, George Foreman. I even found a mini pair of gloves by Ray. I've been, as you know, I'm making my move to further. But I want to get to you for a minute, Rooney, and also C-Wings, you can double in on this. Get back to football. Barbara Brazil. Now, was he Brazilian, Rooney?
No, Doc. He was actually an African-American born in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Any reason why the Brazil?
No, just probably the name Bobo Brazil. Yeah, they figured that was the, if they looked at that as his,
it was a commercial thing.
I know that. A little splendor to the promotion. But no, the great Bobo Brazil was actually born in Little Rock, Arkansas. I believe in 1923 or so. And his real name, doctor and panel, real name of Bobo, Houston Harris.
Just let us know what's going on with that.
Houston Harris, the great Bobo Brazil. It shows how mistakes can just... It shows how accidents can just change the nature of athletes and things. You know, his ring name actually wasn't supposed to be Bobo Brazil. That happened because one of the promoters had actually misspelled the name. What they were going for, Doc and Pound, was actually who... Boo Brazil.
Boo Boo?
Was supposed to be the original name for Bobo. But what happened is in the promotion and the advertising, one of the promoters actually put in a typo and it stuck. So what was going to be Boo Boo Brazil wound up being for life and the rest of history, Bobo Brazil.
Again. Here first on Sports and Death.
270-pound African American.
He was 270? He was that big?
I'm sorry.
He was 270?
Yeah, he's a huge guy for his time. 6'6", 270, and considered by many, and is called by many, the Black Jackie Robinson, when it comes to a professional wrestling. The first big black bona fide star in the business.
Wow, you know, amazing that you tell us tonight, on the night that Major League Baseball, 65 years now since the inception of Jack Roosevelt Robinson, and Art Rush told me something, Rooney, that I'll never forget, panel. You know, Art Rush told me that he never thought there would ever be a black baseball player. Never thought that, you know, Joe Black talked about, you know, he went his friends and they had reached the zenith of their novice careers. And they said, you know, Joe, you know, this is it for you. There ain't no black baseball players. You know, this is it. You know, you're not going any higher. And it's amazing. And once again here first on Sports in Depth that you've heard on the night, how apropos that we remember Jack Roosevelt Robinson, that we find out that Bobo Brazil, and no need to be booed, was the Jackie Robinson of wrestling. And in the Sports in Depth Touch and God Hall of Fame, Willie O'Ree, the first African-American in hockey. I have some stuff of his here.
You still got that hockey puck, Doc? I want that.
Which one you want?
The Willie O'Ree one you have.
Yeah, we got a couple of them. You can get them. I remember when Bill Larry Hardesty did his show, the Sports Box, the great Larry Hardesty. I want to say hello to Rosie and all the people out in Brazil. Rosie, a devout listener to Sports in Depth. Rosie out there right outside San Paulo. Rosie, thanks so much. She uses the show to catch up on the latest in sports and to improve her English. Thanks so very much, Rosie. We appreciate you, my man Shaquino Alameda in San Paulo, one of the top saxophone players in the world and the first saxophone player in Gloria Gaynor's band when she's in Brazil. Décio Cotamacio Jr., international promoter. I want to say hi to him over there and all of the people down in my San Paulo at the Americano. My man, the group there, man, we got Roberto, man, Ronaldo,
And we also got the people down in Fortaleza, my man Big Stevie Steve and AJ, Anna, Viviani Jr., down at Marina Parque in Tabajara, Destino, and that family, that crew over there, saying hola, and muito saudade, and beijo, abraço, and cumbia and Dios. Rooney, Bobro, first big name, who followed him?
I mean, first qualified as far as Doc, from the African American community. I believe born in like 1923, started his career in 1951, I believe. And this is what shocked me, though, Doc. This is really kind of what you know, they would match him against a fellow African Americans, heels, as they say, the villains. One Ernie Ladd, who, as you know, played pro football, who won about 6'9", about 315. A great villain who I've actually seen work at the Garden. A tremendous bad guy. Mm-hmm. And another guy who was never under the WWF banner, but a worldwide reputation by the name of Abdullah of the Butcher, whose matches were quite, quite hardcore, I'll put it that way. Known for his hardcore style and hardcore matches. He usually put Bobo up against, as of course, he was the baby face, the good guy, and like I said, was a very bona fide African American star, and against the heels, the bad guys, Ernie Ladd, and as I said, Abdullah the Butcher. But what took me aback, Doc, in panel was I was shocked to find, I do really mean shocked, to find out that it took until 1970 to have a mixed match in Atlanta. Before, they'd only match Bobo against other blacks and whites against other whites. There was no mixing of the races as far as the matches are concerned. And to my shock, it didn't take place in Atlanta until 1970. That they put Bobo against a white wrestler in 1970, Doc.
So they didn't have matches like in other words, African American had to fight another African American, and a white guy had to fight another white guy.
Matches until 1970 in Atlanta.
I'm like, you mean you didn't have an interracial combat till 1970, Ronnie?
That's crazy.
Positively not from the research that I've gotten, Doc. Which is, I'm like, 1970.
Where was that? What'd you say?
In Atlanta, no mixed race wrestling matches. They let blacks fight other blacks, whites fight other blacks, other whites, but no mixing of the races as far as wrestling matches.
So you're telling me, so when I saw Bobo Brazil, it was always against Sailor Art Thomas?
Thomas, Ernie the Big Cat Ladd, Abdullah the Butcher. Now, this is Atlanta, Doc, not probably, you know, other states.
Okay. I see.
Only in Georgia.
You're only in Atlanta, right?
Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not nationwide. I was shocked that Atlanta, Georgia, took until 1970 to have that breaking of the ice.
Come on, you know that's south of the Mason-Dixon line. You know that wasn't going to happen for a while.
Well, that's not surprising. Isn't that the state that banned
Hey, whatever you're going to say, yeah is the answer. It doesn't matter. Yeah is the answer. Yeah would be the answer.
I mean, they banned Ray Charles because he stood up against Jim Crow laws.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? The crew is all here. Destino Baby Lewis, Harold Weston Jr., the First Lady of Sports, Lady A, Nate B, Baseball, Mel Cosa, C-Wings, and I got everybody here. The C-Wings, the Big C join us yet? Big C?
I'm here.
Big C, everybody.
Hey, Big C.
He lives. Say hi to Big C, gang. Big C is
alive.
Hola, Big C.
Hola,
Big C.
Big C, the gang is all here. You must have been ecstatic by the 3-0 start of the Yankees. I told people last week when the Yankees were 0-3 and the Mets were 3-0, I said it must be April.
I was loving it.
I said it must be April.
Thanks.
Big C, because Lady A,
we need those media cards. We're beating you for that. But you got the press release. Can you explain to the fans and to us here, once again, we want to say hi to Neil Blake, our CEO and Lady A, and also, you know, DocSandySports.com. Big C's done a great job putting it up for me. And also, if you want to make a donation, it's www.blakeradio.com, and donations will be taken. But Big C, break it to us now. We've again elevated. We've been again be carried to higher heights by Neil Blake. Explain to us our latest print, iPads and on-hot. Could you explain that to us now? What have we done, and how have we once again elevated ourselves here on this great radio station?
Absolutely. You know, kudos to Neil Blake. Not only is Blake Radio available via iTunes or Stitcher, and Stitcher is like a mobile radio station for your smartphone, so you can just log in. But now there's an app. One app for Music Massage and one app for Rainbow Soul. And these apps, you can download them on your Android phone or your iPhone and just tune in. It's a downloadable program to take with you wherever you want to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, he beamed down from the spaceship. the one and only. Hey, Nixie, the Mets, will they? And we got you know, if you had any baseball questions, we also got Nate B. Baseball here. Big C, you got a question. Were you as a Met fan, because you know you're going to be beating him back? And gang, everybody's happy birthday,
yeah,
to Big C too, because he had a birthday last month, March 21st. Everybody's happy birthday, Big C.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, the reason why I wasn't on last week because I had my birthday last week. I forgot to tell you guys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, happy, everybody's happy,
happy birthday.
Oh,
my God. How do you do that and not say happy birthday to Harold?
Yeah, we're looking for his happy birthday, too. Hold on, gang. Everybody, happy birthday. First of all, happy birthday to Harold because he's first. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Come on, gang. Happy birthday,
Harold.
Happy birthday,
Harold. I hit the big 6-0, boy. That's a milestone. I'm telling you, boy.
I was wondering what the heck you was last week, because we got to say happy birthday to you. I remember we had Harold's Angels. Harold was sitting with me with the first ever African American to command the JCSC unit in history of the military. The first ever, happened to be my cousin, Robert L. Bethay Jr. They were in town. And Harold was shocked when Angels, which is now no longer there, they changed the name. We came in and we sang a little happy birthday to Harold. That's been about 4 or 5 years ago. And now here Harold is the big 6-0. And so we want to say happy birthday to you. Your birthday was, now when was your birthday, Harold?
April 7th.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7.
Last Saturday.
Yeah, okay, because we're looking for you later. I had it here. I got you Saturday, the 8th or so. And Sea Wings, 21st was... Big C, who had a birthday. He's not 60. He may be half of that, but he ain't 60 yet. I can't believe he's 60, but Harold's 7.
Hey,
but
pardon me, Doc. I still think that if we gave Harold a year, he'd still make the top 10.
And you know what? And the way boxing's going, Harold could make a comeback right now.
I told Harold 10 years ago. But Harold told me he wasn't going to come back. But you know what happened? What happened with Harold is that Harold was thinking about coming back, but the commission and Gil Clancy said, look, Harold, we got this job for you. And Harold went that direction because Harold told me, I'm glad I got the gloves cut. I mean, I have actual gloves that Harold used in the fight that he won. I got to look that fight up.
You better be locking that front door really well because I'm coming in there jacking them things.
I think the gloves you got the Vita Antifermal gloves. Because that was the one that I stopped him and used. That was when I was just meeting you, and you asked for the glove. I said, yeah, take
it. And not only that, Harold, as they say, you got a lot of stuff with you, boy. You sitting up in the military like a little butterball and going to fight the undefeated, hottest fighter in the world. You going to take a little light military leave, beat him, and then get on your white horse and ride out of town. Harold, I like your style.
Before you go on, let me just say, that there actually was a guy who came back in his 50s, way back in the day. I'm sure Howard is familiar with it. He had served a prison stint of about 15 years or so. Came back in his 50s, fought at the Garden by the name of Bobby Halpern, who wound up facing a guy to rock us out in the Garden.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bobby Halpern.
Yeah, I know about Rob Gronkowski.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network for the show. Happy birthday to Howard Weston Jr. Happy birthday to Big C. And, you know, you just, the things
you just can't really comprehend
what you're listening to when you listen to these people. I mean, here we found tonight that on the night that Jackie Robinson was being ordered number 42, that Burrow Brazil was the Jackie Robinson of wrestling, and Lady A let us know once again that Willie O'Ree was the Jackie Robinson. I was really stunned when Mr. O'Ree told me that not only was Boston the team that he played for, he said Boston was the one city that was ripe for the acceptance of a black hockey player. I mean, you Boston?
Yeah.
And it really kind of blew your mind. It really kind of, Lady A, we don't want you to leave too soon, so if there's anything you got to interject, you know, let us hit it. Before you cut out, but Nate Baseball, you know, because we started with you and we ran away from you.
Yeah.
You're Pirates, you know. Do they stand a chance to improve this year?
No. I mean, I'm the biggest optimistic Pittsburgh fan. You know, there is. You know, every year I pick the Steelers to win the Super Bowl, you know, and Penguins to win the Stanley Cup when they're having a rough time. But it looks like it's going to be our 20th consecutive losing season. Not since Barry Bonds was on our team have we had a winning season. And we've been rebuilding for 20 years. And basically our owners just take the money. What happens is we get the tax money from the Yankees and Red Sox, et cetera, that we're supposed to spend on players. But the owners just keep it as profit. And actually, Forbes magazine has some of the smaller marketer teams like the Pirates and Kansas City Royals, you know, as some of the more profitable teams because they make a profit from the money they get from Red Sox, Yankees, et cetera. And they just sit on it a lot of the times, you know, instead of spending it on players. And our team's just terrible. I mean, you know, they come out with propaganda, we're rebuilding this or that, but we're terrible. And I don't see us, you know, we might win 70 games, you know, if we're lucky. But we can't score runs.
Hey, Nate, you hear that in the background?
Oh,
that's
what's
the
that?
Sound. That's the sound of my heart bleeding for you, because I feel the same way sometimes.
Oh, okay, thanks. I appreciate
when they talk about the Mets and the Jets, so don't feel bad.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
can relate to.
I appreciate
it. I can relate to.
The lady don't
leave.
Good.
Hey Doc, how do you feel? Do you think that with the infusion of Magic Johnson and his investment company purchasing the LA Dodgers for $2 billion? Do you think that's going to help that team rebound back into what they used to be of yesteryear?
Well, you know, Magic's name, you can't, you know, Irving. I always call him whatever.
Yeah.
I tell that funny story, Irving, and you know, I always give him a call, leave messages, and I remember the Nets were playing the Lakers for the NBA championship. I see Irving coming down the hall, and I say, "Hey, Irving, how you doing?" We hug. So Irving, can I have an autograph? He says, "Man, you always ask me for an autograph." I said, "Irving, because I don't see you all the time." He said, "Man, if you didn't ask me, I'd be upset." I think, you know, what he's done is just his name. And you have to understand, my mother talked about it. You know, I remember she went, the first baseball game I remember her last seeing my dad was Willie Mays. She talked about how great Willie Mays was and how excited was she seeing Willie Mays. And she talked about how excited she was and the pride she had and the acknowledgement of the night when Venus and Serena Williams fought for the championship at the U.S. Open. It was the number one rated and the highest ranked show ever presentation, and you had two African Americans. My mother had so much pride in that, and she talked about how proud she was of Magic being in part of this venue. You know, they've got an outstanding manager, and managers aren't as good as the players, but Don Mattingly was a Willie Mays of defensive first baseman. He also, we have Don, you know, Don Mattingly came up as a left fielder, and we have in the Doc Stanley Sports and Depth Trust and Guard Hall of Fame an autographed glove by Don. And, you know, when they played that Pine Tar game, when they had to play that game again to finish out the game. Don Mattingly was at second base as a left-handed second baseman. So that's a foot of note, and he's in our Hall of Fame. I know it can't hurt, but I'm hearing right now there's some problems because maybe baseball or somebody's concerned about the fact if there's – I think ESPN is questioning if Time Warner has something to do with the monies and the ownership of the Dodgers in this new conglomerate that Magic and Company has brought in. It says a lot about him, that the kind of name he has and credibility to be able to do this. The Dodgers, they'll always be missed here in Brooklyn. They were a great organization. You know, they were one of the most solvent organizations. You know, O'Malley went out there, built that new ballpark, had the greatest left-hand pitcher, I think, of all times in my money. Sandy Koufax won the Cy Young 3 years. I mean, the Triple Crown of pitching 3 years in a row, the Cy Young Award. The only problem is seeing what these problems are being interjected. There's going to be some sort of snag. But, I mean, they brought the team. If the team wasn't brought, there was going to be some problems. Magic Johnson's a name of credibility. I think it should be advantageous to baseball. But baseball is just deteriorating. Besides being such a racist game, it's just a dull, boring game. I mean, the guys are regressing. I mean, you know, I couldn't understand how Vandalia, I'm pronouncing the name wrong, how he could be the most valuable player last year. You know, okay, I understand he won the Triple Crown of pitching, but how does a guy who wins 25 games and only completes four, how in the hell is he the most valuable player? And then I look at it again and say, well, wait a minute, how does Granderson, who led the league in scored runs, who batted second, hit 41 home runs, who was the center fielder on the best team in baseball, and he loses to a pitcher? And I'm right back to that same old black and white nonsense. And, you know, it's just crazy. Mm. I mean, you know, I think it's advertising. And now that we got you, C-Wings, what's the story here? Is Tebow going to be the number one quarterback? Is there problems in Jetland? What's the story here? What's the story?
I hate to break the news to all the Kane Green fans out there. first and foremost, that Hard Knocks chose not to open their doors once again to the New York Jets. They offered it to the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, my God.
I want to interject something here before I leave, Doc. I'm going to tell you something that just disgusted me. Do you believe that in the cover of the paper today, they had a little baby with Antonio Cromartie's, like, number on it? Okay?
It's 12
the guy
pounds,
has
right?
10 babies.
Yeah.
10. 10
yeah.
babies. Okay? This is But this is what we always talk about, how this is the kind of stuff that the media, you know, gives publicity to, and
that's
they want to do a reality TV show and all this stuff.
Hold on. You bring a point, and let's just get this. You know, I'll never forget this. I will never. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake, Red and Rainbow, so the channel Sports Depth, the show, happy birthday to Big C and to the legendary Howard Washington. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And all praise and honor to man. Bill Vergen, and Larry, Harold, you remember Bill Vergen, wrote for the Daily News. Bill did this great story, and ended the story. I never forget how he ended the story. He said, Ollie has been champion 3 times, but some guys have never been once, and he's made millions, but some people have never made one. And I saw Bill, because I remember Ernie Shaver was up in the press room, and I said, Bill, that was a great story about Ollie. And he told me something I will never forget. Now, I'm maybe redundant, gang. He says, Mel, they didn't call me a doctor. He says, Mel, you can't believe how hard it was for me to get that story in. He said, it took me 2 years. I said, Ali? He said, it took me 2 years to get that story in. When they found out, it wasn't your typical poor, broke, down on his luck black fighter story. Lady A, the room is yours.
No, I'm just saying, you have something like that makes the Daily News, okay? And, the publicity now, they want to do a reality TV show, all this nonsense, you know, the baby mama drama nonsense, okay? But now when you talk about a guy who's, you know, a devout Christian, you know, and you start hearing all the jokes and everything about the guy,
okay?
Absolutely.
And clean cut, you know, trying to get his act together. They're talking about, oh, there's rumblings in Jetland because they can't get along. They live in the same place in the Trump area golf course or whatever in Jersey, and you know him and Mark Sanchez can't get along. Come on, this is what you're putting
well,
in the papers.
But this is American TV these days. I mean, everyone has a reality show. And me and you talk about it all the time, Lady A, that we should get our own. Since everyone else is throwing their hat into the mix, but this is the way that American TV.
We have our own reality show. We with Dusty. Dusty is our reality show.
Well, you better believe it. I know everything. Yeah. But she's right about that. I mean, this is the guy that they had to the Jets advanced him. I think upwards of nearly $500,000.
Yeah.
To help with his child support cost.
Exactly.
I mean,
yep.
it's incredible. But I tell you, that question that you posed about Tebow, you're going to see it turn into the Chad Pennington and Kellen Clemens era. When Pennington went down and he was playing bad, everybody wanted Clemens.
Who's better, C-Wing?
Clemens was bad.
C-Wing. Who's better? Who's better, C-Wing? Hey, listen, I know you and Coach Ryan talk. Who's better? Larry Hardesty called me last night, so I know it's going to rain. Who's better? Tebow or Sanchez?
I stick behind Sanchez. I mean, I don't think Tebow's going to be able to handle the New York pressure. I don't see it. You look at the first year, like I always said before, I was at that game with Mark Sanchez. It's a preseason game. The kid has an arm on him. He can throw when he has to. He can. A lot of people don't think he can't throw down the field. He can. You give him the right weapons, the boy, the man, is a good quarterback. Is he ever going to be up there with Montana and all of those guys? Who knows? But you have to give him the time to mature. This is his breakout year. With his first 2 years when he had the weapons around him, you could put Tom Brady in a team like the Washington Redskins. Will he be as good as he is in New England Patriots? Of course not. They don't have the weapons. They don't have the coverages, the protection that he needs.
Listen to
but
me. I'm going to tell you
when
this.
We were at
you
that
can talk
game,
all you want
AFC,
with that.
When we were at the AFC Championship with the Jets playing Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
when Jason Taylor said what he said,
mm-hmm.
he was absolutely right about it. That was a good team.
Good,
they were not going to return the same way.
Team.
And when they broke apart that team and they took a lot of his weapons away, he suffered. Now, he does have confidence issues when we're at the games. But
when you blitz,
he's the better,
when you blitz 42 times the game, you're going to have confidence issues.
But I still think he's a better quarterback than Tebow.
Really?
I mean, Tebow, he may be a good fill-in. I don't even know if that number two. They should have went after Donovan McNabb. Give him a two-year deal, 1 year guaranteed. Let somebody, in case he gets hurt, let someone that's a seasoned veteran that has taken his team to a Super Bowl, he's taken his team to a Super Bowl. So this guy, he would be a viable quarterback.
Okay, Rooney.
I don't know how much McNabb has left.
Huh?
I don't know how much McNabb has left.
Yeah, but you know
what?
We're talking about McNabb 2 years ago. We're talking about McNabb last year.
But McNabb now is a commentator for ESPN. That's his new career.
They need a good quarterback behind Sanchez to teach the guy.
McNabb a shot.
I don't think going to Tebow is going to be the answer.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. This nonsense with the Saints and Parcells, there's a coach under Tom Dungy for 14 damn years who could have taken that slot.
Dusty, this is a children program.
Nobody.
Cut out those words, damn.
Oh, well, whatever the heck it is, man, it pisses me off that they come and talk about McNabb and all the dudes who could have helped these damn teams. And look, and this guy could have studied under Dungy. He could have taken over the Saints.
On this show and not those.
He could have
this Daniel Baby Lois is on his own.
Let me interject this, Doc.
Okay. How many straight games? How many straight games did they lose at the end of the season? The Jets.
Three.
Who was the quarterback? How many straight games did they lose?
You can't blame it all on Marks. He put the ball there. A lot of these guys dropped it.
How many games?
A lot of these guys dropped it.
Answer the question. How many straight games did they lose at the end of the season with Mark Sanchez? How many straight games?
Three.
Did they lose, see, is the question.
Hold it. And here's the next question. Who was the quarterback?
It
was Mark Sanchez, but you can't blame Seth. He put the ball in Lady A. It was plenty of times he put the ball in. These guys dropped it.
There's also a lot of money for helmets. There's also a lot of money being made for helmets now because he kept hitting Dustin Kelly in the head with the football when he was quarterbacking.
Yeah, but the guy, you look at other quarterbacks that were good, when they lost their weapons, the quarterback is the leader, obviously, of the team. But he's not the all-incompetent piece. You need wide receivers. You need their protection. When he had that the first two seasons, he played
absolutely
better than a lot of other, even great quarterbacks that we have now. I think he played better than Manning.
And backing up Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel Sports Network, they're all here. The legendary Harold Weston, Destino Baby Lord, Mel Cosell, the First Lady Sports Lady A, Nate B. Baseball, and Mel Cosell. Let me say, Dusty, Harold, Lady A, C Wings, Nate B. Baseball.
Quarterback controversy for a quick second, Doc.
Would you please?
I want to say this to my man C Wings, okay?
Go ahead.
I understand what you're saying about Sanchez having a better arm and getting a better all around quarterback. They're not bringing people here to take 15 snaps a game, okay?
You just traded your team into a quarterback controversy. But like I said, it's going to be, first of all, the coach, he has to take control of that locker room. He has to take control of that locker room this season.
What do you mean control of the locker room? I mean, C-Wings, you're the best ever do this on this show and that I've ever met. But, you know, control the locker room. The locker room don't win games. Locker room 7, Green Bay 3.
Do you hear the comments coming out of the New England Patriots about players making comments about other players out of the locker room? I think every locker room in the NFL, whether it's in the NFL, baseball,
the problem we have here is what Dusty said, what Lady A said. It's the new. I'll never forget what Don Mattingly and Dave Righetti told me. You know, they didn't like playing it because there's always some if you hit 400, you're hitting 301 with men in scoring position. If you win five games in a row, your ERA is 8 points. It's the New York media. That's why a lot of guys. Last night, when I got my thing from Mr. Ivy League, who talked about all of a sudden you can't talk to players before the game. You know, a lot of players don't. I mean, half the time you couldn't talk to players before the game anyway because after batting practice, guys went down to the cage, guys went back for treatment, guys get some meat. But you know, the New York media. Terry Pinlin told me he took $500,000 less. Okay. To go to Atlanta, then come to New York, then subject New York to the New York. Dick Young never called Jackie Robinson, as we talked about Jackie tonight. Dick Young appealed to the Dodgers to not bring Jackie Robinson in, and he called Jackie Robinson, as the late, great Arthur George said, he called Jackie Robinson Captain Midnight.
Bill Belichick does not allow that. He takes control of that locker room.
Exactly.
Even with the Giants, you don't have that type of stuff amongst the players. And me and Lady A picked that up in week number four. We looked at each other and said, wait, something's going on here. But you have to take control of that locker room. You keep it in-house.
You deal with it in-house. You can't put that out there in the New York media. This
exactly.
is the biggest media capital in the world.
I think we're failing to see something, Doc. If I could just say something, I think we're failing to see something. I mean, yes, it's the New York is the media capital of the world. But the reality is you know, there's positives and negatives in everything. Which when you take these guys and you put them in a, whether you say something negative or not, the New York media has a way of spinning things in their own way. You could not talk. I remember a few years ago when Chad Pennington decided he wasn't going to talk to the media at all. All of a sudden, they were making up their own stories. You understand what I'm saying?
So to
look at things from another perspective, I think that, yes, the New York media is what they are, and they have the reputation of being and doing what they are. But when you go in sometimes without you saying anything and standing in that locker room like Cedric and I had done, you get a really good idea of what is going on in the locker room. You do get a very good idea of what's going on in the locker room. And, you know, losing, okay, by all definitions in every sport, okay, people are going to get annoyed and they're going to get angry and it's going to cause hostility, especially in a team sport. So the leader of the team, who is the quarterback, it's up to him to grab the bull by the horns and say, guys, this is what we're going to do. This is our objective. This is how we're going to change things. I did not see that coming out of Mark Sanchez this last season.
Well, can I got to say something about the New York media? This is what
go ahead.
I never came from New York. I never did been there before, but I just want to say this. Is that
the
this
man
is my
from
opinion
Mark,
about
I wasn't
New York? Because I never been to the city before.
But
the fact was is that you got to be like Joe Namath. You got to say what you're going to do and do what you're going to do,
exactly.
And everybody to accept you. Forget
right.
about all that other nonsense.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Forget about all that other nonsense. Joe Namath came in here. He said he was going to do something. He did it. And that's what come here. He was always going to be an icon in New York City. Mm. And that's what New York wants to see.
They're not going to get that in Tebow.
Like,
I'll tell you that right now.
One place they did it with Willis Reed, or when the Knicks started winning. Then they say they're going to win the championship, they won it. And that's what New York wants to see, and that's what the media of New York want to hear. And that's all it is. All that other nonsense, how good your arm is and all that stuff, and the guys dropping the passes when I throw, don't want to hear it.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody wants to
win the championship.
Well, in all sports, losing is no good. And in all sports, you're going to have controversy.
You have to perform here in New York. They don't want to hear a whole lot of jibber-jabber, and here is where performance counts. And I'm going to say this again. They're not bringing Tim Tebow here to take 10 and 15 snaps a game. They're bringing Tim Tebow here to be quarterback of the New York Jets.
But he's got to throw and he's got to complete. That run in the ball, you're going to piss off a lot of wide receivers
like you did
in Denver. You pissed off a lot of the receivers, wide receivers, because that's how they make their numbers. That's how they get more money.
Shouldn't the bottom line be W's? I don't care if he runs the ball, but everyone,
we have to understand too, it's a business, and
okay.
people are there
okay.
to make money.
Right.
You win, yes, mm-hmm. but guys, they want to get the ball. You're not a wide receiver just run up and down the field like a blocker. You're there to
great
catch
point.
Passes,
great point.
Get those stats. You want to make it into the Hall of Fame, hopefully. That's one of their goals as well. So, I mean, they're not all negatives with him, but I don't think that he's a quarterback or backup that they need at this point. They don't need that. You need
someone. Hold on, everybody, I got to do this because I have to protect us. From Dusty and our career. Hold on a minute. Everybody, hold on. They did play it. Okay, I thought we got a little problem here. Okay, then come on. We keep going, gangs. Let's play a little something for us. Okay, go ahead, Steven. There's validity on both sides of the ball here. You know, Melko Cell says, not bringing this guy here to do 15 snaps. Lady A is saying, you know, I mean, this is what I'm saying about the guy. This is what I'm saying about the guy. The guy team went to the playoffs. Okay? The guy team won the division, and the guy team beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round of the playoffs. I just don't think to a lot of what Mel Kosell says is that this guy is coming here to be a backup quarterback. Now, if Sanchez can perform, it's outstanding, and I've long said with Lady A and everybody else here, I don't understand how the Jets, for the longest amount of time, have allowed this guy, Sanchez, to lose games to learn how to play the football game. But you brought a good point up, D-Wing, is that he didn't have the personnel weapons that he had in the past, and it's your football. Go ahead, D-Wing.
I can't get feedback. Backup. You have Brunell there, a guy that was literally a statue wearing a Jets uniform on the side that did absolutely nothing.
He had season
tickets. And I told you before, Doc and Lady A, that was going to come back to haunt him. What was he there for? I mean, we go back to the Baltimore game that me and you covered. The guy was literally, I think he was hurt to the point where he couldn't even come out and talk to the media.
Yeah, but so how could you say that Tebow's not good?
But they had nobody to bring in.
Yeah, but now they do. How could you say Tebow's not good?
Tebow is not that good. If he improves where I think he could, but I was never even sold on him too much in college. I watched him in the Senior Bowl. Didn't really impress me. I think he has a lot of room to improve, but if the Jets want to get there, this is not the answer right now. Especially,
okay.
This is the year that this is
the
year.
Wait,
that
you, Ryan, you said it is.
Hold on. If that's the case,
Ryan, this is he's under pressure this year, I tell you.
Okay, C-Wings, why is he here then? Why is he here?
I think they brought him here because he was the most popular player in the NFL with this. It was like a fad. It's like the Linsanity, the Tebow in, and all this stuff that took off. It was a media frenzy. And let's make it clear. The Jets are the second team of the NFL, or New York City NFL team, and they want to be relevant. I like their coach. I think he's a very good coach. But maybe there's some things that are out of his realm as a coach. He has to answer to the GM, the owners. So it may be, I don't even know, in my opinion, I don't even know if Ryan might have even petitioned them to go after Tebow. It could have came way over his head. That's what I think.
Back up.
I think it's
something.
A publicity thing.
I'm going to validate, and once again, this, your perception, your intellect, and your genius. I talked to Larry Hardesty. Larry Hardesty told me that at the press conference, Coach Ryan wasn't there. None of the coaches was there. Nobody was there but Tebow. Said Tebow came out. He started the press conference. He talked for about 35 minutes and was gone. So a lot of what you just said, once again, ladies and gentlemen, Doc Stanley Sports up on the Blake Radio Network, these are the best of the very best you're ever going to hear. Justino Baby Lois, Nate B. Baseball, Lady A, the legendary Harold Weston Jr., Mel Kosell, Z Wings, and our man Big C, because you hear it here first. Bobo Brazil, the Jackie Robinson, the rest. And what you're saying, Z Wings, you didn't even notice. I talked to legendary Larry Harsh, the greatest African American sportscast in the history of New York City radio, what makes him the greatest of all. And he said the press conference was an in and out move. The head of PR wasn't there. Coach Ryan wasn't there. None of the coaches were there.
Orchestrated by Tattlebaum. Tattlebaum had to have had his hand in it.
They were down at the owners' meetings in Florida.
Nobody was there but Tebow, the media, and Jared. So a lot of what you're saying.
Wasn't there?
No, they were down in Florida at the owners' meetings.
N-O-B-O-D-Y. N-O-B-O-D-Y. Nobody, B-U-T, Jared Winkley, Tebow, and the press. So a lot of what you're saying, C-Wings, is on the money, as it always is. It's your platform.
But I tell you one thing. If it works, they're going to look like geniuses. But if it doesn't, I think you're going to see Ryan. He's going to be in a lot of trouble. May not be here next year. But
be on the unemployment line, like he deserves.
It's going to. We'll see how this has to play out. But I don't think this is what they need now. I still think they could have went after a guy like McNabb, Kyle Wharton, one of these guys that can really fill in that space as a quarterback.
Okay, C-Wings. Here's another thought. And you were there, and Dusty was there, and Lady A was there when we did, Ray Lewis was there, when we did a two-hour show live from the affair when we talked to Mr. and Mrs. McNabb. You know, this doesn't sit well with the Jets' history with African-American quarterbacks, because McNabb was there, Jeff Blake had to leave New York. I mean, you know, why wouldn't they snatch a McNabb who was definitely more seasoned, more poised, better, and could have been less expensive? I mean, this doesn't sit well with you know, when you're looking at the history of the Jets with African-American quarterbacks, C-Wings. I mean, why? Dusty has been saying this every week. You know, he rides on that mule, and he says, you know, I think his mule's name is McNabb. But, you know, the question is, how come not McNabb?
Yeah, I mean, it brings up a lot of questions. I mean, was this out of desperation? I really didn't understand the move that
they
made.
There was no desperation.
I mean, you could even brought in Dante Culpepper, which I still think the guy has about maybe three years left in him.
Exactly.
I mean, big guy, okay. Maybe not the fastest, but he still has an arm. He's athletic. He may not be the quickest mobile quarterback there is, but you know, these are some viable options. Do you really want to make it to the Super Bowl, as you say, or you just want to be talked about in the media?
Oh, you Doc Stanley Sports Rainbow Soul Channel. What's that for the show? Hold on, Rooney, because we're going to talk boxing in the last part of the show. But Rooney, I that's what I want. I want you here because, you know, you're thinking, the wheels are spinning. Two thoughts here. You feel that Tebow is here to be the number one guy. You feel Tebow is not here just sitting on the bench. But here's a question we got to ask, and you know, Dusty has asked this, Lady A has asked this, why not McNabb, and is this not a demerit on the Jet organization, as once again, we passed over not only a very viable, a very expensive, experienced, excellent quarterback, but Rooney, but is there a problem with African-Americans in New York City at quarterback?
Well, what about Randy Moss? They could have brought him up too.
I like it, Dusty.
But,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. Randy, talk about Moss. I mean, well, you and Dusty, you three. I mean, because you know, because I remember I was told that.
Yo, Doc, I gotta go.
You gotta go. Gang, say everybody say goodnight, Lady A.
Good night,
guys. Good night, Lady A. No chess.
Good night. Lady
A. I don't know.
Right
behind you.
Take care, sweetheart. She's the first lady of sports, Lady A. Okay, Rooney, now, we had to look at, and Dusty brought a point in, too, because I remember, you know, I heard Randy Moss wanted to come here, and you can always sugarcoat it because they took Plaxico Burroughs. I didn't understand how you take a guy who hasn't played football in all this time against many considered the greatest receiver of his generation and a guy who played, but Mel Cosell, is there a problem with an African-American quarterback, not only in Jet camp, but in New York City?
Yeah, it's always that way.
The possibility exists, and that's certainly a possibility. But I do have to say this, Doc. I know it's results, okay, Doc? Results, okay? If you are winning, then as far as I'm concerned, no matter who you win with, doesn't really matter to me. As far as the Giants are concerned, you're winning championship with Eli and Cass, so there's not much that you can say to them about it. You may have your thoughts and suspicions, but the bottom line for all of that is to win. As for the New York Jets, I echo C. Wings in this particular area, Doc, that they could have used a lot more improvement to other parts of the team. They need people on the offensive line. They need some bona fide receivers for Sanchez to kind of work with. They need some decent running game to take the pressure off. Now, having said all that, you have to look at this one of two ways. Either this is going to be a colossal flop as far as the Tebow thing is concerned, Doc, a colossal flop that's going to be looked on as nothing but a publicity play to try to get some of the back page back from the New York Giants winning championships. Or you can look at this as being one great experiment, especially if it works out. Now, how that works out, I guess, is going to be up to the future for us to see. Either it's going to be known for as a colossal flop and a publicity grab, or one of the great experiments of our time.
Well, if it is an experiment, it's the biggest stupidity in New York, plain and simple. I'm telling you, it's the biggest stupidity in New York. Experiment, throw them suckers back in the dungeons and experiment with themselves, because that is stupid. I mean, you have veteran. This is exactly the war that I wage every time. You have talent, veteran talent all over the place, unemployed right now, that could buttress and bring credibility to your team, and yet they don't do it. The Randy Moss, the McNabbs. Again, I have to repeat my story with that coach who was understudied to Tony Dungy. He could take over the St. Louis Saints. No, they had to bring up that blunderbuss Parcells for nothing. I mean, these guys are playing stupid games, man. And these things don't happen, even if they weren't there presently at the press conference. This doesn't go by anybody without them totally in the little dark room agreeing to do what they did. What they're going to do with Tebow, I like to see, using the word experiment, I want to see Tebow. In fact, I demand to see Tebow being the starting quarterback to see what the heck happens.
The reason why I see McNabb, he led his team to the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
He was with the Eagles. So you're not bringing in somebody that's all talk and no action. They didn't win, but they made it to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And this is exactly what I don't understand, the peanut brain mentality of the freaking Jets. Why are they doing this? Publicity? Man, you have 3 years of publicity, downgrade publicity. You floundered. You destroyed every chance of New York getting a ticker tape parade. I mean, come on, you wasted the team. Come on, that's ridiculous.
Even Broadway Joe said something about it. I heard his comments on ESPN.
Because Joe said something about it, it doesn't make it gospel. I mean, if we take this, if Joe agrees with us, we like it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But then again, we're talking about Joe. And Harold said, you got to listen to Joe Namath. I mean, Joe said, hey, we're going to win. Joe has won here. Joe won the biggest football game in Super Bowl history. And Joe said, you know what? I'm not the MVP. Matt Snell's the MVP. So you're right. You have to listen to Joe Willie Namath, because he's not only a great football player, he's a great human being, and he's a straight-up righteous guy. So, I mean,
but that's his opinion. Things
have to be questioned. There's no question.
That's his opinion.
And in lieu of the fact of talking to Larry, and Larry said it was a press conference that nobody attended. I mean, you know, usually if I'm the promoter, I'm there promoting Harold Weston against Benitez. Harold Weston against Ray Lisson, Harold Weston against Terry Norris, you know, or if we bring in C. Wings as my new running back, I'm at the press conference. If I got Mel Costell and Nate B. Baseball, you know, my new 1-2 righty-lefty tandem, I'm there at the press conference. So there's something to be said that this may be simply be a owner's move. You know, this is what the owners want to do. They own the team. They do what they want to do. There's a lot of solids. Well, not a lot of solids. Everything has to be looked at what D-Wing says, because he's a resident genius. The guy knows the game. He said also there were some injuries. There were some pieces lost at last year at the Baltimore game. I mean, if you got hit, beat up, and run over rough side the way Sanchez was down in Baltimore, you're not a ping pong doll, so you're going to have some repercussions and some thoughts. So, I mean, there's a lot of merit to this. But there's some substance to what Mel Costello says. Did we get this guy here for 15 snaps? They're talking about his jerseys are selling. And what Dewing said, the Jets always number two here. So is this about ticket sales? So once again, we're sacrificing W's for revenue, which means is this all the owner wants? All he wants is to make money. I mean, as long as I can be a viable competitor and make money, if I win the Super Bowl, that's good. But if I don't, I don't. So what we're saying here and what we're asking here, if this guy is inducive to winning. Am I correct, Stewie?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, but, Doc, I'm sorry I have to cut it short. I have an early morning tomorrow. But one quick point on the upcoming draft, as we know, is expected that Andrew Luck is going to go to Indianapolis and RG3 to Washington. But there were some questions being raised. Is that going to lead into the 1-2 curse? When I say that, I say normally when you have two good quarterbacks like that drafted, usually one turn out to be a bust in the NFL. That's just the way history has shown. So, we'll be looking for that in the next, couple of years to see how both guys are going to turn out, which I've seen both play in their teams, in their divisions. They both do a good job. But normally when that happens, you look at the quarterback, Chris Winkie. I used to play for Florida State Seminoles. He played well for the Seminoles. When he got to the NFL, you don't really hear him. He kind of like set off into the sunset.
Yeah, you got to run us. We'll catch you next week back here on Sports Step on the Blake Radio Rainbow Soul Tales Sports Step of the show. You'll be back in the locker room. There'll be T-Bone part 97, the way we're going here. We'll talk about Revis, talk about the coach. So probably do a new special during the course of the week. And last thoughts before you leave us, D-Wing. The wings is gone.
Going down? Okay. Doc, I wanted to mention something before it's too late.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say that, Doc, when we were speaking earlier about Bobo Brazil, a.k.a. Houston Harris, he was trained by the great Joseph Voldy. And it's funny, Doc, he actually met Joseph Voldy while watching the matches. He noticed that he was a big guy, kind of took a liking to him, saw that he expressed an interest in wanting to do this, and decided to take him under his wing and train him. The reason that I'm mentioning that, Doc, is that Bobo Brazil is the person who trained and got into wrestling the father of the current babyface and star, The Rock.
Really?
Rocky Johnson Sr., the original Rock, if you will, the Rock's dad, was trained by the great Bobo Brazil.
Wow. As Don King says, only in America.
Well, again, as the father of the current baby face, The Rock.
Doc Stanley, what's up on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Show? Hope everything's okay with me. May have my new technical difficulties, but hang right with it. As we're in the doing moment of the lady left 6 weeks, has left, and we had the introduction of the man at the controls, Big C. We got the fight coming up, so we got my boxing guys here, legends from the ring, Harold West and Tina Baby Lawson, and Mel, so always. Ortiz and Humberto Harrell has been made again. Harrell, are there always going to be questions about Berto, not Berto, about Ortiz's heart?
Oh, yeah. When you quit one time, that's it. I mean, that's how you for the rest of your life. I mean,
really?
When he retires and gets 50 years old, they're going to talk about that till the day he dies. I mean, that's something you just don't do in sports, period, is quit. Because no matter how much you win, there's still going to be that label on you that you quit. And that's all it takes for people to ride you from now on.
So there's nothing he can do to erase that?
No. A quitter is a quitter, man. You ain't going to never leave that, Mel. No matter how it looks and how much you try, what will happen, he will try not to quit, but if he's getting beat, and he's going to get beat so bad because he don't want to quit, is that, he can really get hurt. But my point is that he is a quitter, and if it gets really out of place, he's going to quit again. It never leaves you. You never leave it. I mean, when you live with that label, you got it.
But which guy was that? I missed the point.
As a promoter, is that something? I mean, you didn't have that year, but is that something that they say, hey, Harold, we got so and so, so and so? Was that something you was always cognizant of?
Well, I think that anytime any trainer, manager, when the first time you meet with a fighter, there's two things you want to find out. Can he take a punch and does he have heart? And that's the most important thing. After you see through that, then you might can do something with him. But, then everything else falls in place. But those are the first two things you want to see, if he can take a punch or if he's got heart.
Come on, Justin.
I have to ask Harold, and I'll be brief.
Go ahead.
Doc. I know this involves your guy. We both, we know he's a warrior. But, Harold, there's something that I've always wanted to know from your point of view, being that you're a warrior, and Justin, I know you are too. What happened to Roberto Duran that night against Ray Leonard? What happened?
I think that basically he just got disgusted, and he just got to a point where he didn't want to go through a whole 15 rounds, chasing him. So, he just said the heck with it. He didn't realize the impact was going to do. But, Roberto, he's got his own countrymen and everything, and he said that the reason why he had to do it because he had to go to the bathroom. But if you had to go to the bathroom, why did you still stay in the ring and walk around and everything? So that excuse did not work. So basically, I just think he just got disgusted with Ray because Ray didn't come to fight. Roberto likes to fight. I mean, that's his thing. He likes to fight, and Ray wasn't going to stay there and fight. And then, with him doing what he did later on, it's different.
I said, but Harold, that's not the first time
that
Roberto ever fought a boxer.
He was, you got to understand, with this fight, was you got Roberto in a situation where he came from nothing, and now he's where he's at. But now he's got a lot of people as the yes man in him. And you don't know, his mindset is in a different world. And so he's looking for a different type of fight. Some guys can get into that rut where, he might have had an argument with his girlfriend or his wife or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And he just, all that starts dawning on him because he's running behind Ray. And he just said, the heck with it. I mean, I don't know what exactly happened to him, but I just think that mentally he just wasn't there. He just didn't want to be there.
Is there a possibility that your dad said that he thought that Duran may have been drugged? Is there a possibility?
I don't think basically Duran just wasn't there to make this fight. There's only one fight that I've seen Duran scared, and one a couple of fights that I think that he had his doubt. But the fact is that he always had that pure, sort of he wanted to rough you up kind of guy. I mean, he will fight you to the bitter end to a point. But if he thinks that he's not gonna win a fight, he played Larry too. When he fought the Haitian, he was very shocked.
60 seconds.
But the point is that you know Durant was he was in that middle of the point that he had to really see if you had it. If you had it, then he had his doubts about it.
Hold on, guys. Let me do something here. Let me get Larry.
You got some feedback here, Doc. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I know. I'm having control. We've got about 10 seconds, so we're gonna close out. I'm having some problems with the control. We're gonna close out now. It's Geno Baby Lowe, Harold West Jr., Nate B. Baseball, Lady A, and Stevens left. Harold, we have you here next week, Dusty. And T Wings and Nate the Baseball and also Malcolm. So Dusty, tell everybody good night. Doc Kelly, Sports Jump on
Saturday.
Rainbow Soul Tales, Michelle, for the bottom of my heart. God bless you all and trust in God. Dusty, tell everybody good night.
I just said good night, everybody. Buenas noches and feliz cumpleaños, Harold Weston.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Another more Sweet 16s.
Yeah.
Bless you.
God bless. All right.